The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sovereign minds. Boom, shaka, laka, laka, boom.
Okay.
Just saying. Today is Sunday, April 14th.
It is.
24. Once again, I am your host. My name is Mark Kent, and I am here with Sovereign Minds, the radio station guys that we do every Sunday. And I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Even though I'm not a host or anything, good morning.
She's just here. She might not even want to claim relationships with me as a brother and a sister after I've got a big announcement today.
Yeah, that's what we keep hearing.
Got a big announcement today, and I want to, you know, this is for everybody to hear, so, you know, I'm going to probably announce it at, 10:15 after here. We want to say, a thing about our sponsors here to start with. We're brought to you by Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agents. Shout out. I got to get my voice going here. 810 Main Street, Red Bluff, California, 530-527-5534. She is the best and will take care of all your insurance needs. Also, Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, 530-605-9575, licensed and bonded. And Crack Masters, Jeff Wurst.
Yeah, well, you never know what you're going to say or not say. Get your windshield fixed if you need to with Jeff Wurst on Market Street. He's great. He guarantees his work. He's the best in the North State. And he's also a veteran. We got several things going on here. He's a veteran. He's locally owned. But give him a call if you have a problem with your windshield, a crack or a chip. He's located at 3208 South Market Street.
I don't understand the message. I need somebody.
I guess we need you for a second.
Oh, you want me to leave the room?
I'm not sure.
I think your sister, who lifts heavy lifting, she can handle for 30 seconds.
Oh.
Okay, so down at Crack Masters at 3208 South Market Street, or give him a call, 530-241-8373. So, anyway, I don't know what they're doing out there, but a lot of stuff is going on out in the waiting room. I'm not sure. Anyway, I wanted to remind everybody, this Tuesday at 11 a.m. out at Igo Cemetery, we will be having the services for Fred Salanti out there. He was with the founder of Missing in America Project. He started it in 2007. So, if you can, please come out there. He also was involved in many organizations here locally, including the Veterans Home, the Veterans Cemetery. He got Welcome Home Vietnam Day here. He passed a law in that has to do with the cremains of veterans. If you don't know, Missing in America Project, we find and locate cremains of veterans who sit on mortuary shelves, and we give them a proper burial. So, again, that is at 11 o'clock this Tuesday. And then afterwards, we're doing a celebration of life at the VFW Hall in Anderson, and it's potluck.
Okay, very good. Anything else on the agenda?
Not at the moment. Everybody got quiet all of a sudden. There's not a bunch of action going on.
Dave's not here.
Yeah, Dave.
Dave, you're not here.
No, Dave will be joining next week.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, today is the day before the 15th, which is tomorrow, is the deadline for tax returns, unless you file an extension, which I have done many yesterday. It's been a, I'm just bleary-eyed from the season. It's just been an ongoing grind. But let's see. Well, let's start with something. And
that would be good, something.
Well, the first thing I want to talk about is, I have a big announcement here. And, I talked to our brother. He might be my brother after this announcement instead of our brother.
Okay, whatever.
Okay, so the big announcement, the big reveal that I want to tell everybody is that, you know, my brother is big into genealogy and ancestry. And, turns out we have some very prominent people in our background. And so the big announcement I want to make is that it turns out that I'm a 67-year-old black man. And, you know.
I could say a comment, but it probably wouldn't be good over the air about somebody being in the woodpile. But I'm just saying.
Okay, so number one, I can use the N-word now. Because
no, you can't.
Being a black man, I can.
No, you can't.
I can use the N-word now. It's all.
No, you identify as a white man.
I don't. I'm making the announcement today. I'm a 67-year-old black man. And that's the truth. This is not a joke. It turns out that there's some ancestry, some prominent black people in our past.
Well, if you do any kind of research or anything, you know we all came from black people. If you go back, everybody came out of Africa. Don't you know that?
All of us?
Yes, everybody.
Well, all I know is that, and I'm going to get the complete list, okay? I'm going to get the complete list of who our relatives are. Turns out Muhammad Ali is in our background. Now, I knew I was looking so pretty and everything, and I dance like a float and a butterfly.
So does that mean that we're related to maybe Mike Tyson, too?
I don't know if we're related to Mike Tyson or not, but...
I'm sorry, I was going to say Tyson.
As long as we're not related to Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I was going to say something about ears, but that's a story for another day.
I also know that if I vote for Trump, I'm not black anymore. Because if I don't vote for Biden, I'm not white. Yeah. So if I vote for Trump, I'm not black anymore. But if I vote for Biden, I'm still black. I don't know. Are reparations appropriate now for us?
He's so confused, audience. He doesn't know what he is over there.
I don't know. It's true, though. I mean, I'm getting the documents. It's true. So we got Muhammad Ali. I think we've got, like, Carver Washington. I don't know. It was all a shock to me, but I'm ready to go with it because I'm thinking reparations should be in order for me. And
yeah,
now,
so were we slaves, the black people, or were we slaves as the Irish, or just slaves across the board?
Well, now at the Board of Supervisors meeting, it's all hands on deck because, being a black man now, not only is the N-word on the table now, I can discuss, slavery and reparations and I'm on the, what? Because if my ancestors were part of the Irish Brigade, which took a lot of losses in the Civil War, you know, third most casualties of the Civil War in the Irish Brigade, but I was also on the other side too. I was on the, not on the South, but I mean, I was also on the other side of the race thing, because not only was I in the Irish Brigade, I was probably in a slave ownership capacity at some point, or not ownership, but a slave capacity at some point. Who knows? I could have been an owner and a slave, and I could have been working at the Irish Brigade, and I don't know what to do.
I don't know. In the chat room, they say that you can sing kumbaya with Nathan now.
Nobody knows.
So I guess you can't be racist anymore, because if we...
Yeah, you got to think about that one. Now,
I have to choose my words carefully. But I guess we can't be racist.
Do you still want me to say he's our brother?
Well, yeah. Okay. Doesn't mean that he could be my stepbrother. He could be my half brother. By a different mother.
It might be true that we did find you somewhere.
Or it could be that we actually found you guys. They found you guys first.
I never thought of that.
You guys they found, and then they decided, oh, we don't like this. We'll have our own child.
Holy crap. Yeah, should have mama too. Yeah, I just started rapping too. I can rap. I didn't know it. I could rap things other than Christmas presents now.
Yeah, because...
my mama trying to tell me how to live.
But you still can't jump. White man can't jump.
Yeah, but I'm not a white man anymore, remember?
Well.
So, man, I'm talking about frickin' from the free-for-all line, you know, spread eagle Jordan style is what I'm saying.
Well, the question is, where did the information come from? Is it a reliable source?
Yeah.
Sure it is. So...
This might sound funny, and you think I'm making a joke, but this ain't April 1st, okay? And this is true. I'm waiting for the paperwork.
I'm just saying, if you've done any studying, you know everybody supposedly came out of Africa way back in the day. Just saying.
Okay, so does that mean we're all entitled to reparations, and we should just write checks to ourselves?
How about we just keep our money and not pay the government?
But you're not black anymore.
I'm not black anymore. Hate to tell you. Okay.
Now, it wasn't China. This is the now my brother is a prominent member of the Latter-day Saints Church. And they have solid research.
They have records.
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out who I am.
Bear with us, folks. He's never going to know who he really is.
Well, I mean, you know, they were all famous people, most of the ones that he
saw. Well, of course, you think if you can pick and choose who it is, you're not going to pick famous people?
Well, sure. But we also had kings of Scotland and, King of Ireland here and there. And I don't know, maybe Charlemagne. I don't know. I'm still waiting on the paperwork. But interesting.
I'm just saying.
So I want an application for reparations. I want to check the box. You know, there it says we owe you.
Yeah, because it doesn't say that we had what percentage, right?
Right. And you better watch it when you call me the N-word, because I can call you back now.
And not be racist and, not be picking on anybody.
I hope it's not P. Diddy. Who said that? Stay away
from me. Well, you never know.
I don't know. But this is not a joke. I'm getting the paperwork. I'm a papered 67-year-old black man, it turns out.
Yeah. He's papered. I like that.
It's like an AK.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Were you a German Shepherd too?
The African Congress. And I'm going to Disneyland as soon as I get my paperwork.
He's a mutt.
Well, if I'm a mutt, you're a Jeff.
No, because remember, you found me, so there's no connection between me and you.
I told you were going to sever the bloodline during this program.
You keep saying it. Anyway.
Give me back that inheritance stuff I gave you.
I almost was saying bad words.
Mom didn't like you anyway.
Yeah, okay. That's all right. My daddy did.
Well, that was all
That was all a smoke screen, too.
No.
All right. So there's the big announcement. I do have some stuff that I want to talk about, though, because.
What isn't there to talk about? I mean, it's crazy out there. Well, I mean, we say the same thing every time, but it just when you think it couldn't get any crazier, it does.
Well,
with the news cycle.
I do have an article that I want to read here from, this is from Robert W. Malone, MD, MS. I mean, this guy is one of the guys that helped invent the mRNA vaccine technology. And he's got a report titled Anti-Science? Scientific reporting regarding the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine. And, and it has a little thing about who's anti-science and all this stuff. And these are prominent universities in the world and so forth. But by trying to reduce science, this is a quote from the end, by trying to reduce science, which by definition explores doubt, complexity, and is in constant evolution to simple messages set in stone, scientists can become the worst enemy of science. All right, so we now know that a wide range of psychological manipulation methods, psyops and psywars and cognitive warfare, were deployed by Western governments since early 2020 to support false narrative scaffolds that the SARS-CoV-2 is a highly lethal virus, that the deployed COVID genetic vaccines were safe, effective, and necessary to prevent a widespread excessive death, ergo the incorrect model of the 3.4% case fatality rate, and innumerable other lies. Multiple examples exist which demonstrate that the government deployed nudge technology, intentional fear messaging, targeting both children and adults, and literally thousands of funded academic studies probing methods for overcoming vaccine hesitancy have been deployed against the general populace. These methods and techniques were further amplified by established legacy corporate media and their employees, who functioned as propagandists rather than as serving an independent investigator and arbiters of truthful information. Furthermore, a wide range of weaponized terms were developed and deployed as intentional smears by government, non-governmental organizations, and corporate media in an attempt to censor and delegitimize scientists, physicians, and others who dared question these promoted fake narratives. As a component of this propaganda campaign, a new lexicon was also developed and weaponized, including terms such as anti-vaxxer, which was quite literally defined in Webster's dictionary to include any who did not support vaccine mandates, as well as the notorious trio of misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. These three terms were widely used by media, government, and NGOs to label and discredit any who did not parrot the approved but often shifting narrative flowing from the CDC, NIH, FDA, or WHO. And once injected into common use, they were defined by the DHS as justification for labeling any accused of spreading such as domestic terrorist. The specific definition of the term vaccine was even modified to align with a newly developed pharmaceutical product which relies on polynucleotide genetic information delivery technology. All of the linguistic and cognitive manipulations weaponized during this COVID crisis, one of the most offensive and corrosive related to the meaning of the word science, with active promotions of the concept that those who question, now proven to be false, false promoted narratives were anti-science. That organizations such as the United Nations, World Health Organization, World Economic Forum could own the science, and that a government official such as Dr. Anthony Fauci could personify and embody science. All of this consciously and intentionally weaponized psychological manipulation was then cast into a political context which shifted as the president election season approached and the new executive branch leadership transitioned between parties. Democrat Party candidates were extremely skeptical of the safety and effectiveness of rushed experimental emergency use authorized genetic vaccines developed under the preceding Trump administration suddenly became unquestioned advocates for the same products, mandating their use for military personnel, federal employees, and federal contractors, flipping from skeptics to fanatics. The new administration employed a variety of coercive tactics to coerce or entice public and private sector endorsements of mandates, including for college and school-age children who were virtually at no risk for death from the COVID disease. To provide just one of the examples is to illustrate the partisan politicization of science, it is worth reading the Harvard Gazette October 2020 essay titled, "Why Isn't the Right More Afraid of COVID-19? Rejecting science and expertise as the president urges has become a reflection of loyalty," analysts say. Okay. So what we're, the excerpt, he's got some excerpts in there, and I'm not going to go over everything here, but it is now time to revisit, reflect, and analyze the impacts of this propaganda, censorship, and targeted bullying. Cyberstalking harassment campaigns have had on the public health enterprises as well as legitimacy of the World Health Organization as a global coordinator for public health responses to perceived and promoted health threats. In particular, it is often the case that surreptitiously intelligent operations, it is time to consider the blowback or unintended consequences of these heavy-handed policies and the long-term damages they have caused to both vaccine enterprise and support for universal public health measures and mandates in general. Just as has happened with so many other propaganda campaigns, such as those deployed in support of otherwise unpopular or unethical government-endorsed domestic and foreign policy objectives, the short-term benefits are often negated by long-term consequences. Now, those who promoted these false narratives must confront the damage they have caused to legitimate public health objectives. So I'm going to stop there, but I think you get the gist of this. And, you know, so this whole thing's been a propaganda campaign. It's now coming out. It's been proved. You can do your homework if you actually know how to do homework or want to do homework. But,
yeah, and to go along with that, I have a thing here that, you know, 17,000 scientists and physicians confirm that the governments around the world, along with corporations, willfully and deliberately lied to humanity about the COVID vaccine.
Yeah, I've got here's one from the World Tribune.
And they've got all the data that shows, you know.
It's out there if you want to look.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't want to listen to MSM, LSD, or any of these mainstream organizations that are propagandist at this point, and everybody's starting to wake up to the fact that all they did was lie from the day one. What else have they lied about? Now, you were anti-vaxxer, climate denier, election denier. This whole thing has been a psyop in order to twist public opinion to look at experts that aren't experts at all, but are spewing propaganda paid for by either the government, the NGOs, the deep money pit.
Yeah, but these people should, have charges brought against them, and they should be prosecuted for what they did, for the lies and the crap that they spewed on the people and forced people to do with vaccines. And other things, just the vaccines.
So this is from World Tribune. Senator Paul, 15 U.S. agencies knew in 2018 that the Wuhan lab was trying to create a coronavirus like COVID-19. And so, they knew about this all along. So,
Yeah, they did.
It's unbelievable. Also, we've got ivermectin is now coming out to, it's actually a miracle drug, an anti-parasitic drug may suppress cancer tumor growth and kill cancer cells. And I don't want to go too far into it it is a powerful anti-tumor. It has powerful anti-tumor effects, including inhibition of prolification, metastasization, I'm not a doctor, antigenic activity in a variety of cancer cells that may be related to the regulation. So remember the whole thing, Joe Rogan, they painted his face gray. They said it was horse pills. You were not only an anti-vaxxer, that you're anti-science.
Right. They also said that it had nothing to do with parasites, and it did. Their vaccine had parasites in it, which that's why ivermectin is one of the best things that you can use to counter it because of what it does in the body.
So with that, I want to read this. Louisiana aims to strike down the WHO, the World Health Organization pandemic treaty, and other UN and WEF plans, World Economic Forum. Louisiana State Senate Bill 113 was recently passed by the State Senate unanimously. The proposed law rejects totalitarian plots by globalist institutions that include the World Health Organization, United Nations, and the World Economic Forum. The World Health Organization is trying to get nations to accept its pandemic treaty that is coming up for a vote in May. Joe Biden already promised he would pass it before he was elected. It is unconstitutional. The final draft for this plan has yet to be made public. The pandemic treaty allows the WHO to define the next pandemic, determine lockdowns, surveillance power, determine treatments, vaccine mandates, vaccine distributions, vaccine IP and profits, and the redistribution of everything. Huh.
Yeah, exactly. And they're trying to get all, I think it's like 193 countries that they want to get on this treaty to be under the thumb of the WHO.
So who's going to go along with this? Because if you can't see that as what's coming, you know, we got the FBI trying to pass, if they haven't already, the Surveillance Act and reinitiate that, that they've been using to spy on the president, Trump, and anybody else that they deem as a domestic terrorist. And all you got to do is say, hey, I think that's not science, and now you're a domestic terrorist. No, nothing to see here. Louisiana's proposed law is just one paragraph, and it reads, the World Health Organization, United Nations, and the World Economic Forum shall have no jurisdiction or power within the state of Louisiana. No rule, regulation, fee, tax, policy, or mandate of any kind of the World Health Organization, United Nations, and the World Economic Forum shall be enforced or implemented by the state of Louisiana, or any other agency, department, board, commission, public, political subdivision, governmental entity of that state, parish, municipality, or any other political entity. I suggest that we might want to get our Board of Supervisors locally to pass that same law here. Obviously, in the state of California, we've got Newsom down there. They're part of the problem.
Oh.
So they're not going to pass
anything.
Definitely,
yeah, they're not going to do anything like that.
And other states need to start paying attention and passing this too, because are they going to use this to twist the votes again? Are they going to use this to take control? Remember the last one? Oh, gee, we don't have any real election laws anymore unless we tell you what they are, because we've got a new pandemic defined by the World Health Organization here that is anything that we say it is, because we can define it, and now we can also lock you down, change voting laws, surveillance power, determine what the treatments are, redistribution of everything.
Yeah, we will have total control over you at that. And I don't think they're the only state. I think there's other states that are starting, maybe not that exact law, but implementing other things to stop the far reach of the government and, you know, the WHO. And you're right. You know, people, we need the Board of Supervisors, you know, involved in this. We have to start in our own backyard with this stuff to combat it.
It's all just conspiracy theory.
Well, yeah, sure it is. That's why they have all this proof about Bill Gates and all of them wanting to depopulate the world and take over, and you answer to them for everything.
It's a
why do you have to have a pandemic treaty?
It's
excuse
a C-O-N,
me.
C-O-N conspiracy.
Yeah, they have, okay. Yeah, all of our, you know, yeah. They want to take care of all of us, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah. With that, I guess before we go on, we need to take a break, and then we will pick up maybe not this conversation, but another conversation on the other side. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
All the days run away like a wild horse in the tumbling over the hills. And the nights drop around me like a too-thin blanket that won't keep out the chill. All the spot in your eyes burn a hole right through me, and it's one I never feel.
time. In the dark road ahead, it's a little bit brighter when you're running for your life. On the spot in your eyes, burn a whole right through me, and it's one I never feel. Yeah, I'd be dead and gone if looks could kill.
Red Bluff Roundup is on. April 19th, 20th, and 21st. Get your tickets now. Over $350,000 is up for grabs for 700 competitors. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is Patriot Day, brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractor. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7. And an after party with live music. Saturday, brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows, Sierra Pacific Industries, and Red Bluff Dodge. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music star Chase Matthews. And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital, tough enough to wear pink day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
Attention, all poker enthusiasts. Don't miss out on action-packed fun and incredible prizes. Head to Wind River Resort and Casino Poker Room for our Casino Royale event on Friday, April 12th and 26th, starting at 3 p.m. Get ready for the thrill of Texas Hold'em, because the first nine players to sign up for a Limit Texas Hold'em game will receive a $30 add-on and a raffle ticket for a chance to win amazing prizes. And that's not all. From 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., there'll be two hot seat winners drawn every half hour to win dining vouchers or $100 cash. Also, there's something extra for the fashion-forward poker stars out there. Dress in your finest formal attire and receive $50 in free slot play. And our judges will award the best-dressed guest with $75 in chips. For complete details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. And find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hello, this is the IIAP, the Illegal Immigration Assistance Program, a taxpayer-funded division of OATNUT.
This is an encore rerun for Sovereign Minds KCNR from Sunday, April 14th, 2024.
And if you insist on English, please stand by. If you're thinking about illegal immigration, be careful when you're choosing the nation, because breaking the law in some countries is frowned upon. Imagine that. Sneak into China, they'll call you a spy, and ship you to Mongolia till you die. And in the Sudan, they'll hang you and the camel you rode in on. Yeah, don't go hiking and enter Iran, or you might never be heard from again. And in Mexico, you might face a firing squad. Yeah, forget all about going to North Korea. That's a great example of a bad idea. So when it comes down to it, there's only one option you got. Yeah, come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay. Should you get caught illegally immigrating, come to the USA. It will be your lucky day. Cause when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting. Like health care, welfare, free education, help with your voter registration and driver's license and credit cards and license plates for your car. Lots of jobs for you to do and employers who'll turn a blind eye to. Come to the USA.
I think we should just keep playing that.
No need to worry about the Constitution. We'll help you start a house of prostitution, if that's the kind of work that you want to do. You see, those gringo infidels are crazy. They'll give citizenship to your new baby. So you see, there's really only one choice for you. Come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay should you get caught illegally immigrating.
Yeah, that's great. Ray Stevens. That thing's like 12, 13 years old.
Wow, really?
Crazy. One of my Facebook friends posted that.
Good stuff. Man, I'll tell you what. we didn't, nothing to see here. It's
nothing
not like,
going on.
You know,
no.
This is, it's like the, like we're talking about the economy. You know, if you're looking at a graph, you know, and the graph, the chart, and you're looking at the chart and the line's going up at a, I don't know, a 45 degree angle.
At least 45.
And then it hooks up into a hockey stick. Is that a trend?
Well, I guess that depends on who's analyzing the chart.
So unless...
Most people, yes.
Unless the dynamics change, you can almost predict that... Let's do my Bill Cosby voice. You can almost predict that... maybe I got Bill Cosby in the background, too.
Oh, well, go ahead. You can identify as that, okay.
I don't want to because...
careful what you wish for.
I don't think he was a nice man.
Well, that's with a lot of people.
Well,
but...
God knows it could have been O.J.
Yeah, that was a real nice man now, wasn't it?
Well, I used to practice going through the airports like that, you know, jumping... you know, back in the day, you know, and I was able to jump and stuff. You know, the old Hertz commercial. Yeah, crazy days indeed. So, but going back to the trend, you know, there's an old saying in the economics that trends are your friends. If the trend, unless the dynamics change, things are fairly predictable in most cases.
Well, to do with the economy, it's happened over and over and over again through history. I'm just saying. Because...
So, if you got a chart that starts in the bottom left-hand corner, starts off and slowly rises into a hockey stick, and that chart's about printing money with no backing, and they just keep doing it, are you going to have inflation or not?
Depends on who you are. Of course you're going to have inflation, but according to them, there is no inflation. It's getting better.
The economy's doing great out there. It's Bidenomics, man.
Yeah. So what if we just dumped in another $1 trillion worth of money?
Well, that's all right. And then, you know, if you just tell everybody, hey, look at all the jobs. Well, it turns out that a lot of the jobs are created are being taken up by the illegal immigrants and not the American citizens. So,
well, yeah, they're firing the Americans and hiring the illegals. What's the problem?
Well, I'm safe because I'm black, remember?
You think you're safe. Think you're safe.
I'm black, remember?
That don't make...
Well, you know, it's kind of, I don't know.
You know, it's just like this big thing about having to, you know,
equal
up
opportunity.
The wages to $20 an hour. I mean, how stupid are you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really going to make it better for everybody, right? Wrong. It does absolutely the opposite.
I think I'm going to have to go get a hamburger today because I heard after they raised the hourly wage that all of the fast food joints, I like the only what I eat at actually is In-N-Out Burger. I can't stomach any of the others. They make me sick. Just saying. But I want to see what the price increase was because if you were at McDonald's down in the San Francisco area it was 16 and something for a Big Mac, fries, and a Coke. What is it, like 20 now?
I have no idea. I wouldn't doubt it. And pretty soon you wouldn't have to worry about it. You just push the button, put in your money, you know, give them your credit card, and poof, you get your meal. Nobody's going to be working there.
The robot will
be flipping the burgers in the back.
You don't even have to speak English. All you have to say is Big Mac, small fries.
They're going to tell you what you're going to have probably.
Well.
Yeah, pretty soon.
Hey, it might be can I get one of those Soylent Green hamburgers, please, that kind of doesn't have any real meat in it?
I'm just saying. They want total control over everything.
Maybe they're not plant-based. Maybe they're cricket-based because that's what I want.
Well, just because, it doesn't mean that they're plant-based.
Yeah.
They could be a lot of different bases, too.
Yeah.
I just say Doesn't mean that it's a plant material.
Can I have a cicada burger, please?
They're going to have a big cicada influx here, right? That's going to be crazy. So who knows what you might get in your burger?
And do grasshoppers that are deep fried dip well in ketchup?
I don't know. I'm not trying them.
Yeah.
You can try that if you so choose.
Yeah, I want to.
If you want to eat bugs.
Big Mac, small fries with locust dip,
That's going to take the place of French fries. Crispy critters.
Yeah, you know, we haven't even talked about World War III yet. president, if you, that's what you want to call him.
The pretender
stumbles around the office and, can't figure out which hallway to go down.
We do have a caller. We've got Rich on the line. Good morning, Rich.
Hey there. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah. What's up?
There's always plenty going on. Are you kidding me? first of all, real quick, let's write our board of supervisors, everybody, if they would like to see some kind of local election reform happen for the November election. This needs to happen quickly in the next 6 or 8 weeks or so. Needs to happen now.
Hey, Rich, do you
remember,
think...
Remember, if we continue to do the same things, we're going to get the same results.
Hey,
so,
Rich.
Everybody, please write your board of supervisors. They can make a lot happen.
Rich.
Yes.
Yeah, can you draft up a letter, a template of some sort and get it to me?
Yep, I've already done it and sent it out, and I will forward it to you in just a couple of minutes. Absolutely.
Perfect. And then what I'll do is I'll post it on Facebook and a few other places. Anybody that needs the information, because some people aren't big letter writers and they don't know how to describe the issues very well. So, you know, we want it to be what they want so they can, tailor it or whatever they're going to do, edit it. But, I think that'd be helpful.
Yep, it's already done, so it'll forward to you in a few minutes. Another thing happened yesterday. a very trusted local patriot witnessed a bus of probable illegal aliens, about 80 to 100 of them, get off of a bus in South Reading near the new In-N-Out Burger, and they dispersed.
I've been noticing a lot more of what appears to be impoverished aliens. I don't know if there's a profile for that, but I mean you can kind of tell.
Well, you can see a lot more people on the streets and stuff than we used to.
Well, so here's the key: if people see this activity continuing in Reading, what they need to do is also they need to contact their board of supervisors, because our board is currently interested in this matter, and they won't know about it unless they're told about it. Now, there's pictures and videos from yesterday. I went down to this location yesterday, albeit about an hour later, but I still found one of the, I'll call him an illegal, because he sure sounded like one. I do speak Spanish, by the way. I interviewed this person, and he was very hesitant to say anything other than that he was from Mexico, but he did not have a place he was going to. I asked him, did he know the other people on the bus? He did not answer. He would not answer. He was very evasive with his answers, but as you well know, these people being shuttled around the country, they're told now to be very careful what they say and to whom they speak. So, and then I surveilled, me and somebody else surveilled this very same person for up to 4 hours. We were there 4 hours yesterday surveilling this person, waiting to see where this person may have gone. And what they did, they just hid. They hid behind this grocery store. And after 4 hours, I had to go. I had other stuff to do. So, anyways, it's still happening. I did notify two of our board of supervisors yesterday what happened. They have firsthand knowledge of what happened yesterday. So if anybody, if this continues where these people are being dropped off, we just need to continue to take pictures, take video, be safe about it, and get evidence, right?
Where's the videos posted at, Rich, do you know?
There's a Facebook page called NorCal Speaks. It's on there, and then I've saved the photos and videos to my hard drive, so I have them. And so yeah, this happened. The again, Board of Supervisors have direct knowledge that this happened, and just continue to report it to them, because this is not a dead issue in Shasta County.
Well, we'll try to get more involved back into the game, the fight here, because tomorrow's the 15th as far as tax stuff, so we're going to be able to maybe get a little more active than we've been.
And I know a couple places. I've seen the buses before. I'll start making my cruise through there to see if they're still stopping there and letting people off. And it's an Anderson.
Well, yeah, and they're going to change their drop-off locations because they were confronted yesterday by this patriot. I will not put her name over the air. I don't have permission, but they were confronted with video and photo, and let's call it the escort, the only white person on that entire bus who was likely an NGO representative or even a Department of Homeland Security employee, that person was not happy that bus was being video recorded. So anyways, yeah, so appreciate the time today.
All right. Is that all you got for us?
Thanks, Rich.
Oh, I've got plenty, but I don't want to take up all your time.
Okay.
All right.
You guys have a good day.
All right, thanks. I have noticed, you know, because I travel from Cottonwood up to Mountain Gate 5 days a week, there's a lot of those blacked out buses going. I see them a lot on I-5. I don't know if they're all stopping in Reading or what, but I see more and more of them all the time. And they usually travel in pairs, at least two buses. Just FYI.
Well, nah, nothing like that could happen.
I know.
That's another one of those CO conspiracies. You know, that's the problem with now you guys are anti-bussers.
Yeah, that's it. I even talked to one of the drivers down in Anderson one time that was a driver of the bus and everything. Yeah. They had no idea where the people were going or what they were doing or, yeah.
You're an immigration denier.
I know. Yeah, I got to think about illegal people. Imagine that.
I don't know. I mean, let's just give them some more money, and it'll solve all of our problems.
They already get health care. They get everything else.
I'm willing to give my reparations to them. I don't know. Is everybody else out there in the community ready to give their reparations up?
Yeah, okay.
Just let me know. You can post it on my Facebook. And I got to change my Facebook page to something a little more colorful.
But you do see a lot more. I'm just going to say I see a lot more people on the streets than I used to here in Reading in Anderson area. You know,
so,
I do. And they're of different skin color.
How do you know?
Oh, I know. They're not my skin color.
How do you know what your skin color is?
I know what mine is. You may not know yours, but I know mine.
It depends on how much sun I get. It's true.
What, white or red?
No. Being orange could be fashionable.
Oh, is it Dick?
Yeah, I think it's Dick.
Mr. Wilkinson, I take it, is on the line.
Right. I called in on a previous program with the same thing. Last Thursday, I was at a meeting at the California Rifle Pistol Association, and Richard Gallardo was there, and he had tickets to help Laura Hobbs, and I said, give me some of those, I'll try to sell them. Anyway, it's raffle tickets. It says, win a Max 9, 9mm. Proceeds paid for Laura Hobbs' legal contest and possible judge-ordered recount. Anyway, the tickets are $20. I don't know if you know about the Ruger Max 9. From my understand, you couldn't buy that in California until just recently. It's added to the roster. You know, California has a gun roster, and if a gun's not on that list, you can't buy it in this state, even though you may well buy it in 35 or 40 other states. You cannot buy it until the loony left down in Sacramento adds it to the roster. So, but anyway,
I'm surprised they finally added it on the roster, because they usually don't add any. They like to take them off.
Well, I understand it was just recently added on. I can't verify that. I just heard that. But anyway, I have tickets for that, and they're $20. And it says drawing tickets, $20 each. Drawing date, May 12th, so it's next month. We got about a month, though. Anyway, I have tickets here if anybody wishes to call me and make arrangements to get some.
Yeah, hey, are you gonna stop by the office anytime soon, Dick?
No, he was just there.
I can I'll be at Lulu's, you know, on the last Thursday.
Yeah, I won't be. I won't be able to do that. But
one of your helpers can bring your cash with him.
Oh, I'm gonna do that. Okay, put me down for 100.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yep.
Anyway, my phone number, if anybody interested in buying these tickets to help Laurel with her ordered recall, maybe, is 530-246-9131. And also, Jones's Fort, the gun store on Cypress, East Cypress, they have the tickets also, if you want to stop by there and pick them up. Again, 530-246-9131, or drop by house where my wife and I, Francis, live by the house with the big red barn off of South Bonneville. So anyway, that's it. I hope we can sell these tickets and help Laura. If you want more information, the ticket also has her number on it. It's if you want to talk to her about her legal problems there with the election board, it's her number is 805-710-4905.
All right.
And you could call her direct and find out what her problem. According to Rich Gallardo, she has a whole list of discrepancies that occurred during the last election. Anyway, I don't have a list of those, but
no,
Laura
that
does.
Is true. She's got quite a few that she's working on. I know one of the big ones was she lost by 14 votes, and they didn't seem to want to do a recount on that.
Yeah, that kind of
that was just pretty interesting. Like with Kevin's, it was like what
automatic.
Was yeah.
So,
and they weren't even done counting all the ballots at the time they called his recount.
Oh, they're not weaponized down there against anybody who disagrees with them, are they?
Yeah. So I talked to Patrick Jones about this. He gave me some of the discrepancies, but I'm not gonna bring up now. But if you like to get us what you call from the horse's mouth, call Laura Hobbs 805-710-4905. I'm giving her name because her phone number is right on the ticket, so it's not a secret.
All right. Well, thanks. We appreciate it.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Dick.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't forget to get your $100 and send it on the last Tuesday of the month to Lulu's.
Okay. I'll you hit them up if I forget, and then I'll reimburse them.
Okay. That's good. Thank you.
You bet. All
thank
right.
You,
very good. You
bye.
Bet. Okay. So I guess we're almost at the top.
Yeah,
of the
we're
hour.
At the end.
We have a guest.
We have a pretty hot subject to talk about in the next hour that has to do with some stuff that's going on locally.
So I guess we'll play the town hall meeting after we come back and then get to our guest.
All right. That works.
All
so
right. We've got 2 minutes here left. I don't know. Let's see.
That's still the election, whole election thing.
Who else can we smear?
Well, I just want to say, you know, we were talking about vaccines and stuff earlier, you know, and a lot of people realize, but I'm going to go back. I always go back to the parallel economy for the simple fact the meat, they're putting those vaccines in a lot of your meat and they definitely the pigs and stuff.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if that's a fact.
I know that's a fact.
I believe you. I don't. Yeah. And I'm not disputing that. What I'm saying is, I don't trust anything anymore. I don't trust anything anymore because they've been we have been lied to so much by the mainstream media, by our government, by these NGOs. Take your pick. I don't believe anything anymore. So now I'm at the point where I'm so distrusting that I don't, you know, that I have to do homework on even just getting a frickin' steak at the store.
Well, again, yeah, that's why we need especially do a parallel economy and know your ranchers and farmers and the people you're getting stuff from, because otherwise you have no idea. And with that, we will go to top of the hour and we'll pick you up on the other side. See you in about 5.
CIA killed MLK and JFK both. Fact check. The moon landing wasn't real, it was all a hoax. Fact check. Big Pharma putting profits over every single damn patient. Fact check. We all know that.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Michael Herring. The House overwhelmingly approved a Ukraine aid package after many months of battling yesterday.
The vote was 311 to 112, with one member voting present. The bill totals $61 billion, passed during a rare Saturday session as part of an overall proposal for $95 billion in foreign aid, with separate outlays for Israel and other U.S. allies in the Indo-Pacific region.
That's correspondent George Williams. He says the legislation is next off to the Senate for quick approval this week, then to President Biden for his signature. The Supreme Court has made it easier for workers who are transferred from one job to another against their will to pursue job discrimination claims under federal civil rights law.
The individuals can seek the claims even when they are not demoted or docked pay. Justice Elena Kagan wrote for the court that workers only have to show that the transfer resulted in some, but not necessarily significant, harm to prove their claims. The justices unanimously revived a sex discrimination lawsuit filed by a St. Louis police sergeant after she was forcibly transferred but retained her rank and pay.
Correspondent Jeremy House. The oil industry's top lobbying group says Biden administration rules restricting oil and gas leasing in 13 million acres of Alaska's petroleum reserve are misguided. The American Petroleum Institute says the rules limit development in a region, quote, intended by Congress to bolster America's energy security. Iran's supreme leader dismissing any discussion of whether Tehran's unprecedented drone and missile attack on Israel hit anything there. It's a tacit acknowledgement that despite launching a massive assault, few projectiles actually made through to their targets. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei's comments today came before senior military leaders. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos. Fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
Tired of hearing scary radio ads about the IRS? Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000 or $500,000, we have a solution. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS with zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with a BBB. End your tax nightmare today by visiting TRA.com or call 800-275-3490. That's 800-275-3490.
Third time's the charm for the United Auto Workers.
The union is celebrating a huge win at a Volkswagen plant in Tennessee where workers voted for representation. The UAW won a stunning 73% of the vote after losing two elections there in the past decade. That's giving the UAW hope of making broader inroads in the South, the least unionized part of the country. The union's next target is two Mercedes-Benz plants in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where workers will vote next month on whether to join.
Correspondent Ron DeRockstra. Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Li has arrived in Cambodia for a three-day official visit to reaffirm ties with Beijing's closest ally in Southeast Asia. His visit is the last stop on a three-nation regional swing that also took him to Indonesia and Papua New Guinea. China is Cambodia's most important political ally and economic benefactor. Wang's visit comes amid foreign concerns as two big Chinese-funded projects in Cambodia. News and analysis at townhall.com. Memphis police say two people were killed, six injured, in a shooting at a party in a park.
Eight people were shot, including two men who were killed at a private party in Memphis City's Orange Mound Park Saturday night around 7 p.m. Police say up to 300 people were there, but it doesn't seem they had a permit for the party. Officials are reviewing video and say at least two people are believed to have fired weapons during the shooting. Memphis police initially reported 16 people shot, but revised the number, blaming it on a result of several victims being reported multiple times. I'm Julie Walker.
Today is Sunday, April the 21st, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actress Patti LuPone, 75 years old today. Olympic gold medal pairs figure skater Jamie Soleil is 47, former NFL star Tony Romo, 44. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents...
about things that I feel are important. I can talk about how rich I am, all these little rappers that I'm bigger than. I could show you the impact addiction had, how the liquor turned me to a different man. I'm not the kid who was visiting Disneyland. I'm not a perfect Christian, have a sinner's past, but I sobered up, prescriptions hit the trash. Now I'm sitting back with 50 billboard plaques, $20 million and a million fans. Middle fingers flipping, I can't flip them back. I'm so independent, so they get the message. I've been spitting facts, I'm not a fiction fan. I am the truth, I am the GOAT, I am the proof. You can reach every one of your goals. You can be too drunk, way too high, but it's never too late to have hope. I am the one, I'm gonna preach. You can reach every one of your dreams. You can be up against the whole entire world, and you can beat them if you just believe. They've been saying I'm Illuminati and I'm going to hell. They're desperately searching for any excuse to explain why I've done what they can't do themselves. The only way they can make sense of my famous claim, I worship Satan and labels of health. I don't have an advantage, it's natural talent. Your ego is damaged, admit that you failed. I remember back when I was the only political rapper. What the hell happened? All of a sudden everyone who never gave a damn got political and started rapping. Tragic, I should be flattered. Man, I created the genre, they practically jacked it. Acting like they're in the conversation, they ain't nowhere near it on a different planet.
I think that's enough. Yeah, that's Tom McDonald's new one, God Mode. He's a little too God-y mode for me, but anyway, I thought I'd play it because it's new.
Well, he does put out a good message most
he does
of the
in
time.
General.
He
that
does.
That was a little dark and a little over the top for me.
I just have a hard time watching it.
I listen to music so that it makes me feel better and relaxes me typically. You know, but we have a political thing going on here. The last one, Alex Jones was rapping Fact Check, which is kind of interesting. So we have a couple more in the works here. But anyway, let's go ahead and play the town hall, and then we'll get to our guest. We're going to keep you in suspense. That's how it works around here. That's what we do. It's who we are. It's how we roll. Let me see.
Here's the town hall.
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. In a startling revelation, a recent audit has exposed the lack of financial oversight in California's homelessness initiatives. The state has poured nearly $24 billion into homelessness and housing initiatives over the past 5 years, but officials have failed to track the effectiveness of these programs beyond 2021. This leaves Californians in the dark about the true costs and outcomes of their tax dollars at work. Local organizations like the Good News Rescue Mission in Redding are leading by example, using robust data tracking systems to monitor their services and ensure they're making a real difference. As taxpayers, we should demand the same level of accountability from our state government. While some programs show promise, without comprehensive data, it's impossible to know which initiatives are truly effective in combating homelessness. Stay tuned as we continue to follow this developing story. Moving on to a heartwarming story of community and remembrance, 4 unclaimed Vietnam-era veterans were honored at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. Despite a motorcycle crash involving members of the Shasta County Escort for Veterans on Tuesday, the procession from Oroville to Igo continued. At the cemetery, a touching memorial service was held, where the names of Specialist Michael McKay, Private Paul McCormick, Private Richard Wiley, and Private Floyd Stanberry were read aloud, followed by a bell ringing and a gun salute from the Red Bluff Honor Guard. These veterans, who passed away in 2023 without living family members, were remembered and honored by the community in the first service for unclaimed veterans since COVID. Their sacrifice will never be forgotten. In other news, Shasta County's top attorney, Joseph Larmore, found himself entangled in a local election controversy on his second day at work. The board sought to retain June 2022 election materials, but Larmore advised that federal and state laws mandate their destruction after 22 months. Despite Supervisor Patrick Jones's efforts to find loopholes, Assistant County Clerk and Registrar of Voters Joanna Francesca stood firm, emphasizing the need to maintain the highest integrity by following all laws. Larmore suggested the board's recourse would be to pressure higher levels of government to change the law. The board voted 3-1 to have legal counsel re-examine the issue, but ultimately the documents were destroyed as required by law. In our final story, public outrage is growing and social media is abuzz as Shasta Lake Mayor Powell's fitness to lead is questioned after being found guilty of elder abuse and financial misconduct. Despite the verdict and the judge's order to return the maroon 1968 Chevelle, she remains defiant, showing no remorse. Even after due diligence and careful inquiry by the sheriff's office, the car is still missing. The writ of possession was returned unsatisfied, and the case remains open. If you have any leads on the whereabouts of the vehicle and license plate 3DYU468,
please contact the Shasta County Sheriff's Office. Voice your concerns about the mayor's fitness to serve at the City Council meeting on Tuesday, April 16th at 6 p.m., or contact the City Manager's Office. Will the mayor comply with the law? Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
Wow, a couple things there before we get to our guest. I just have to say something about, gee, this Iran, Israel thing. I guess if you unfreeze the Iranians' accounts to like $8 or $9 billion and gift it to them and they attack Iran, you know, it's kind of like, how stupid are you? Well, we already kind of know that.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've answered that question many times.
It begs the question if Iran attacked Turkey from the rear, is it a goose? I mean, come on. I mean, how stupid is this? So the other thing is $24 billion for illegal aliens is missing. Poof!
Oh.
It's gone.
Yeah, and it's gone. Well, why should we have to tell you where it went?
They're not corrupt in Sacramento. They're just a little bit inept about where they put $24 billion.
Yeah, and explain to me how you think you're ever going to fix the problem when you're letting thousands, if not millions of them, come into our backyard. Hello?
Well, I'm still torn between still being black and voting Democrat and not being black and voting not Democrat.
I'm just saying. I mean, how stupid is this equation? Well, again, you can't fix stupid. I'm sorry, you can't.
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my head.
Stupid is stupid. Yeah, if you believe that.
Again.
No.
That's not the sleeve.
And I have to say, before we move on, I want to thank the town hall for mentioning the writers that went down and what they do. They work in conjunction with Missing in America Project and the Patriot Guard writers, and we did have a writer go down on that mission, and I appreciate the town hall picking that up.
Very good. So I guess I'll let you introduce our guest because you can and you will, and you're going to.
Well, today we have in the studio, we have Christy. So you go ahead, Matthews.
Yeah.
And she's here, and it has to do with last week we ran a town hall, and it had to do with the mayor of Shasta Lake City. And this is a very important thing that's happening in Shasta Lake. Not that it's not happening elsewhere, but this is real important. She not only picked up this story and is involved in this, she also sits on the Commission for Aging of
the County Commission on Aging.
There we go. Thank you. And so she's got a lot of involvement when it comes to the elderly in the community and how things should be handled. So it's in regards, they have this commission for abuse to elderly people.
That's part of it. Yes.
That's part of it, yeah. So anyway, after the story and more stuff happened and more stuff's coming out, and she has all the documentation and everything to support what we're going to go over in the next hour in regards to the mayor. So with that, welcome, Chris.
Well, thank you so much for having me and bringing attention to this important matter. In fact, if it wasn't for Sovereign Minds last week running this story, I'm not even sure if it would have gotten out and got some traction as it has. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, we always run the town halls, but yeah, we appreciate it. We found it was important with the town halls because it's stuff that's in our local community.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I'm not here as any official capacity. It's only there to add credibility to this story. You know, as a citizen, I'm just disgusted by the facts of this case.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting on the County Commission on Aging, I happen to chair that commission, and I'm also a Shasta Lake appointee. You know, they appointed me to that position. So I found myself in an awkward situation, and this is why I'm speaking out on
it. So maybe we need to back up a little bit. If you didn't hear the town hall, this has to do with the mayor of Shasta Lake City.
Janice Powell.
And it has to do with a family matter. Where would you like to start you know, to give a background kind of to the people out there.
Sure. I think we should start at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, this involves, it's a probate matter, which in and of itself should have never ended up in probate. The family, the parents, Jack and Darlene Powell, established a trust for their four children, okay, to, you know, exercise the distribution of their estate once they passed away.
Right.
Okay, so you guys do taxes. You know exactly what I'm talking about here. You don't go into probate typically.
Not typically if there's a trust.
Exactly. So, but in this case, it ended up going into probate for a number of things. And most notably, this is probably one of the most, you know, heart-wrenching things is that, let me just build up the narrative here is that Jack, the father, he was incapacitated, in somewhere around 2021 with advanced dementia. There's a 1968 Malibu Chevelle that was a prized piece of property for them, and Janice has been found driving in around in Danbury and poker runs and things like that in the city of Shasta Lake. And Jack was not able to make decisions for himself. And so, unbeknownst to the rest of the family, Janice took him to the DMV and had him sign over that car to him or to her in 2021. Because the mother was a little bit older than Jack. She wasn't able to take care of her husband. And so they both ended up moving into assisted living and memory care over at Oakdale Heights just a couple months later than that. Janice had lived with the family, since like 2007, rent-free. I don't know what the overall contributions were, but I would presume at some point in time she was offering some caregiving.
In their home in Shasta Lake City.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay. But some things had fallen, some tension started to arise a few years before this really blew up, and the mother had requested that Janice move out, and she did not. Okay. So the mother was forced to serve a 60-day termination of tenancy, okay, an eviction notice.
Right.
Yeah. She did not leave, and then the mother had to go file. She thought if she filed elder abuse, a request for a restraining order, that she might be able to get Janice out and also requested the return of the Chevelle. Which, mind you, I want to say, you know, the reason why Janice said that why she handled the Chevelle the way she did is that she said, quote, "I am holding the title in my name as a backup for my dad as long as he lives," unquote. And we'll just kind of leave that as a place marker.
Okay.
Okay. So in October of 2021, give up the house, return the car. Did not happen. So at that point in time, the brother, Frank Powell, is a successor trustee. He went ahead and filed for a petition of a breach of trust. Okay? So there was a hearing set for January of last year, 2023. The elder abuse restraining order was never granted. It was not in the proper venue. So it got moved over to another court, and then the mother had to file an unlawful detainer action to remove Janice from their home. Now, mind you, the parents have already moved out. They're over at Oakdale Heights.
Right.
And Janice is still in the home, preventing the home from being sold. Now, the parents needed their proceeds from that home to offset the ongoing cost of living at Oakdale Heights. From what I read, they were somewhere between $3,000 to $4,000 short a month after exhausting any other income that they had. So this was putting them into financial dire straits.
Right.
So there was a hearing scheduled for January 3rd, 2022, and unfortunately, again, I'm just presuming here that the mother passed away that morning. And, you know, you can only imagine the kind of stress that she had. I heard she had passed away from a heart attack. that morning of the hearing.
Wow.
Nobody showed up to the court, obviously. Let's see. Let me go into my timeline here, because it's important to understand what's going on here. So after three hearings, Janice had presented to the court that she is going to oppose the petition that was filed by her brother. Now, mind you, Janice and her brother were named as successor co-trustees. Okay? They were together supposed to manage the estate after the demise of their parents.
Right.
So at that point in time, May of last year, the court had found that Janice had breached the trust and removed her as a trustee from the trust. Okay? Left it in the hands of Frank Powell, who is now the trustee. I believe that they named another one of the siblings as a co-trustee. Now, this is where things get ugly and how it got into the public domain. Is Janice was told by the court to return that car. She was to do that by, I believe it was July of 2023. She had a month to do this. The findings by Judge McKee was issued on June the 15th, 2023. Had a month to return this, return the car. Now, but here's the kicker. On June 15th, 2023, during that hearing, the judge found that she was guilty of these charges: breach of trust, breach of fiduciary duty, unjust enrichment, financial elder abuse. And somewhere in the documents, she equated that with the how the Cheval was handled as embezzlement as well.
Wow, so this started out like just with the property.
Yeah.
And escalated to include all this other stuff that she was
exactly
being charged with.
So she received punitive damages of unpaid rent of some $22,000 and then a statutory penalty, which was double the rent and double the car value, which totaled about just shy of $88,000. So that, in addition to the unpaid rent, she had to pay attorney fees, and she was ordered to return the Chevelle no later than July 15th, 2023. She refused.
Okay.
There was a writ, an application for a writ of possession issued later that year in October for the sheriff to go out and retrieve the vehicle from four possible locations because Janice was hiding the vehicle from authorities. She is refusing to follow a court order. Okay?
Now, remember, this is, I mean, that's against the law for anybody to
right.
do, but remember, she is an official.
Yes. And we're,
she is the mayor of Shasta Lake City.
Yes, indeed.
And she was sitting mayor at the time.
Maybe that's the problem.
Well, I believe she became the sitting mayor January or December of 2023, early part of January 2024. Now, she had previously been the mayor just a few years ago.
Okay.
But to your point, she was still a sitting official. She was
right.
on the city council. Now, mind you, she was given this writ of possession. It was properly served, and it had all of the proper orders on here. And through this ex parte issuance of a writ of possession, let me just read that there was additional items checked off here by the judge. It says that the court also finds that the defendant gained possession of the property, which was the car, which was not entrusted to the defendant by feloniously taking such property from the plaintiff by means other than false or fraudulent representation, pretense, or embezzlement. That's where the embezzlement comment comes in. She acquired this property. Let's see. Don't need to talk about that. The sheriff had gone out and served this on her, and she was also notified, and it was pointed out in 5G of this order that says, notice to defendant, failure to comply with an order of the court to turn over possession of such property to the plaintiff may subject you to being held in contempt of court.
And usually if you're in contempt of court, they issue a warrant.
Well,
most of the time, and you get picked up.
Well, that's we
a bench warrant.
Well, it's hard to tell if where that's at as far as a criminal referral. The sheriff went out to exercise this writ on December the 12th of 2023,
okay,
and was unable to satisfy the writ. The sheriff was sent to four possible locations of where this car might have been. So these are, you know, co-conspirators, basically, who were helping her hide this vehicle. And he was unable to satisfy this and return the writ to the court. So how did this get out into the public domain? You must be thinking about that, right?
Well, I know how, but yeah, that's one of the questions.
Well,
and
yeah,
the thing of it is, when I first heard about this story and what was going on when we talked about it, maybe a week ago or whatever it was it's like, how come nobody's picking up on this? The local media, no radio stations, nobody is talking about this. This is a sitting official that is involved in this court case.
I'm shocked.
And nobody's talking about it or anything.
And
she has the gall to say something to the effect, well, nobody's going to touch this story. Nobody's going to air. Like, she's above the law, like, throwing it back in the face of people that knew about it. Am I correct?
Yes.
The news you can trust and count on is...
Right.
Yeah, that one.
Well, you know, she threw that out there. And I would say that she was somewhat accurate in that, but she is not entirely accurate in that assertion. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
Now, what we need to understand here is let's talk about how it got to the public domain. She could have easily never got this into the public domain if she just simply returned the trust assets.
Correct.
It would remain a private matter.
Right, and started making her payments on the money's owed.
Well, the payments were not necessary, is that she had to forfeit her share of the inheritance in order to carry.
Okay, I went there. All right.
This is where things start to split hairs, and I want to address that point as some people look at this as, well, she bought the car. No, she did not buy the car. She was assessed penalties for her actions. She was ordered to return the car. The car was never returned. She violated a court order. She did not present on the writ of possession. She is still holding that vehicle. So, no, she has no rights to the ownership of this vehicle.
And to start with, shouldn't the vehicle went to her mom?
Well, the mother passed away. Yes, it
should have. Before she passed away.
Correct. Yes. Well, it should have gone to her, and it would have gone right to the trust because
right.
Jack was unable to care for himself.
Right.
What's your dog in the hunt here, just as
okay.
a curiosity? You might as well get that out there because people are wondering, why do you care?
Okay. I don't have a dog in this hunt except that I feel like I'm conflicted, if you will, with my role as the chairman of the County Commission on Aging. We study these things. In fact, just 2 weeks, just last month, March 15th, we had the chief investigator for Shasta County DA come in and do their annual presentation on elder abuse, financial crimes affecting elders. I mean, all the work that we do is affecting the elderly population. So here I'm going, I'm an appointee from Shasta Lake. I have to do something. If I don't say something, then I'm basically in agreement of it too. But before I got here, Mark, I went and checked with all my channels and ran it up the chain. I spoke with city officials.
So it's not a political attack.
It is not. I was really trying to offer a way forward for her to maybe redeem herself.
Right.
We never talked about how it got into the public domain, which I'd like to mention that in just a minute. But to address what you're talking about here, Mark, is that I reached out to city council members who basically eye-rolled this thing like, oh, well, it's a private matter. Well, no, it spilled out into the public domain. She is abusing the trust of the people. She's demonstrating poor judgment. Mm-hmm. And this is our head of our city, who is supposed to demonstrate, you know, calm and good decision making and all of that. And this is nothing but the case, mm-hmm. except for entitlement, self-serving behavior. And so it opens up the mind to what other things might be going on that we're not aware of.
In an era of corruption that we've been seeing at an unprecedented scale across the board, I mean, people are starting to ask questions now about everything, and I think legitimately so, because people are tired of the fact that people who seem to get elected to office on whatever side of the aisle they're on seem to have an entitlement mentality of, gee, we can't do anything wrong because who's going to do anything about
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Well, then there's rules for thee and not for me.
Right. Same, right. Yeah, exactly yeah. what I'm saying, yeah.
yeah. Well, the other thing, if you don't mind me adding, is that what adds a little bit of complication here is that she holds an executive position at the Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce, which does a lot of things
again,
for the city. Yes.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. Okay. So let's stop right there for now, and we'll take a break. Okay. And that'll give us a starting point on the other side on this story and why it's so important for people to know what's going on or not going on. And with that, we will take a break, and we will see you in about...
So you know what that means. Hot cars! And cool April nights is back, April 19th to the 28th. It's going to be bigger than ever. So mark your calendar for 10 days of classic car fun. This year has more show and shine, a drive-in movie, cornhole tournament with $1,000 in prizes. Don't forget to dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 26th. End the week by coming to the biggest show and shine of them all at the Civic Auditorium on Saturday, April 27th. There will be 2,000 classic cars on display, tons of great food, a variety of vendors, and lots of chances to win prizes at our annual Poker Walk or Raffle City. Get your tickets today at any of the 8 local Napa Auto Parts stores to avoid the line. Cool April Nights returns April 19th to the 28th, so mark your calendars. For a full schedule of events, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
Get ready for a full-throttle weekend of classic cars, hot rods, and rockin' tunes. Mark your calendars for Wind River Resort and Casino's annual Show and Shine on Sunday, April 21st. All ages are welcome to join us for this free event from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Show your classic car and receive a free T-shirt, free slot play, and a $15 dining voucher for season. Space is limited for show cars. Favorite car wins $50 free slot play and a hotel stay. For complete details, see WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
We'll be right back.
Sovereign Mind Radio, little Phil Collins there. God, that, you know, I hear that and it just makes me want to, you know, remember the Shawshank Redemption where he finally crawls out of the sewer pipe into the rain? It just makes you want to just stand out there in the rain with your shirt off and get washed clean of all this crap. But, yeah, anyway, I digress.
I'm sorry.
That's so true. Well,
yeah, well, anyway.
I was going to do my line from Glory, but we all covered up in it. You know, there's no...
Yucky.
Never mind. Go ahead.
All right, so we want to go back, and we want to go over maybe how did this get out into the public domain?
That's a great question. Gosh, a couple weeks ago, I received a document that came from somebody who received a document, who they received it from. And then I had learned that scores of packages of the same documents had been sent to the city council, the city manager, I believe the city attorney, business owners within the city of Shasta Lake. So this wasn't done, you know, nefariously. It was publicly done to, I guess, I can only assume, to get some attention to this matter.
To shake the tree a little bit.
Yes, to shake the tree. And this is how it got to me. It got to the town hall brief. They went ahead and reported on it, as you said. No one else picked up the story. Doing my own investigation, I had found that this had been brought to news, our local news sources, but they did not want to report
on
it.
The news you can trust or coverage you can count on.
Good question.
Yeah. Amazing that they wouldn't even look at it. It's not like that they looked at it and decided not to run it. They automatically go, no.
Have they got a D or an R next to them?
Exactly. Well, I did not want to just assume the information I received. I wanted to make sure it was not, you know, a targeted thing. So I went down to the courthouse. I pulled the file myself. It's about 4 inches thick, and I read all through it. It took me about an hour to get through it. And then I was satisfied with the information I received was accurate. So here we are, and I find that this is, it's we have a public official who is thumbing her nose basically at our legal system, you know, to follow and comply with the laws. She
you have
is
to still do that?
Yes, and she's taken an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. You know, that's still important to a lot of us.
Yeah.
Okay. And she is supposed to follow the law. Now, if you've attended any meetings publicly, I know that you have. I know and I have as well, and sitting in that domain as well. I have heard city council members basically chastising people that you need to follow the law. That is the law. We have opposition right. going on here in the county about challenging various laws. And, you know, those who are willing to stand up and take a stand are being, you know, excoriating and say, that is the state law. Well, you can't have it both ways. We're going to follow the law.
You could use the Anthony Fauci test. I am science. Well, I am the law.
I don't remember. Yeah, exactly.
And it's
it makes you wonder about the other people that are involved in this, the city council, the other people that that received the information and they did nothing, like sweep it under the carpet. Like, okay, this doesn't, we don't want this out. We don't want to hang out dirty laundry. You know, that's like you say.
I predict there will be a few more rats scurrying.
Yeah, I challenged the city manager on this when I had called her. I know that she received the package at that point, and she was dancing around the subject. And, you know, I respect her for doing that.
It's got to be uncomfortable.
I like all of these people. It just makes it very hard.
It's uncomfortable.
Yes.
No question.
So I had to specifically ask her, like, 3 times, did you read the document? And she said, no. Okay. Would you please read the document and we could talk
right.
in a few days. I followed up with her several days later, never got a call back, went dark. And I've challenged a couple of city council members on the same. And One interesting thing is, like, one of the council members is kind of twisting this all around and saying, well, she's already paid a hefty fine. You know, maybe we just shouldn't, you know. It's just, that's not the point. The point is she committed a crime. Okay?
Now,
and these are terrible crimes.
Right. And we know with certain circumstances, depending on the person or whatever, they haven't committed a crime necessarily. And all they want to do is, you know, stick them to the wall and expose them for a bunch of BS. It's not true. Here you have somebody that is convicted and they want to sweep
it
under the rug.
Well, she's not convicted yet. She was found guilty.
Guilty. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Clarify that.
And
well,
so,
isn't that the same thing?
Well,
it depends on who you are.
As a civil.
Yeah.
So that's not criminal. That just means you're liable for some money.
You're found guilty, yes. And in her not complying with a writ it's a court order.
Right.
Now, that might lead to a criminal referral. It may not. We don't know where that is at this point.
Okay, yeah, and with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Terry. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, you two. That's great information, Christy. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
And I did get a chance to talk to a couple of people up there, the city manager and one of the council members. And my question was, because we're going to bring this forward and Christy will, we'll do something, a pre-recording or something, because I want to, there's a couple questions I've got. One is, okay, when the sheriff deputy went to look for the car, and now either Ms. Powell had to say, I don't know where the car is, or I'm not going to give it to you. Which was it? That's my first question. Do you know anything about that?
From what I've heard, now I didn't hear this directly, but from a source, that's a trusted source who had that conversation with her, and she said this evidently in front of other people besides this one person, is that she told the sheriff that she was not going to reveal where it was, indicating she does know where it is, and the sheriff was not happy with that and basically told her, you know, you're the mayor. How can people trust you? That type of thing. So, yeah, that's the defiance behind that.
Okay, well, here's the question I have with that, because I read the case, too. I read it all. And there was another impression that someone up there had, and that was that, well, because she had to pay double the fine, double the price, or double what the judge thought the Chevelle was worth, that she now owns the car. Well, I read that part in the case, and the way I understood it was that the car has to be returned, period. I didn't read that there was any bill of sale or anything like that. I did read that the fine was increased, and it said it still had to be returned to her brother. That's what I read.
You're absolutely correct. In June of 2023, she was ordered to return the car, and she had also had the penalty placed on her at that point of over $100,000 at that point.
Yeah, it had. Yeah, and also it had to be somewhere in the neighborhood. I think it was either July 11th or July 15th. She had to come up with the whereabouts of that. Now, it's been a long time,
right.
And I'm surprised that, because she's been ordered to give that car back to the trust. How is that not a crime? How is that not a crime? That would be my one question. My other one was, I did have a talk with the city manager up there, and the city manager was very compliant with the conversation. Apparently, they just got all this information, I believe she said, last Friday. And there really isn't a concrete answer to this, whether she's going to resign, not resign, what's going to happen with that. But I did get the sense that there was a lot of angst, especially with the council member I spoke with. There was a lot of angst in that, well, you know, it doesn't really reflect on Shasta County or reflect on the city of Shasta Lake. And my comment was, how could it not,
right,
if people were aware of this going on? I mean, are there other nefarious things going on? And I got crickets. So I mean, I don't see how the sheriff is not right in the middle of this. It's amazing to me. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, there's a few thoughts. So first of all, why would a writ of possession be granted some several months later after she's to return the vehicle? That's specifically why that writ was granted. And it was unsatisfied in December. So 6 months after she had the deadline to return that vehicle, it was not found. And, you know, she has co-conspirators on this. I mean, and these people who are helping her hide it, they think that they're going to get off on this scot-free, but they're complicit. And there's one person specifically who's also has dealings with the city in terms of appointments, who I highly recommend reveal the information where the car is.
Well, I'm just amazed. I don't know even what to say anymore about these things other than the fact that if that had been you or I, I don't think they could put the cuffs on fast enough.
Right.
And again, you know, speaking from having read all of it, as you have, and as I'm sure all the folks up there involved in the city government have, I mean, I don't even see how this can go on. I don't see how she could keep her place. But anyway,
The DA is supposed to be on the next program. Maybe people need to call in and ask her that question.
Yes, that's what I heard.
Well, you know, and I understand that a DA criminal complaint will eventually find its way to them. But, you know, to exhaust all of these other avenues, I mean, there are a number of potential laws that she broke as a public official.
Exactly.
But, you know, just trying to give her the opportunity to do the right thing. I mean, at this point, from what I'm hearing in town, is that we as citizens would like her to resign. There is no fixing this at this point in time.
Well, and doesn't the DA have the discretion to decide which cases go when and where and how and all that? I'm like with Terry. I don't understand how they're not doing anything with her.
Well,
she's just sitting in as being mayor no matter what.
Well, there has to be a criminal referral made. Okay, so I don't know where that is. The writ was unsatisfied in December.
Right.
It was a holiday time. We had a courthouse that moved. It takes several months to run these motions through and these petitions. Okay. So I have no idea where it is, and I couldn't find any indication in the file at this time. But I can tell you what the chief investigator told the Commission on Aging is that the catalyst for elder abuse and financial crimes is where their primary investigator focuses on, and that is real estate related and consumer. And they typically adopt investigations that have already been started by law enforcement, and elders with real estates or trusts that get taken advantage of regularly. So it's quite possible that they may take this up from maybe a citizen filing this complaint, but this matter will be brought up to the Commission on Aging at a future meeting.
Would that constitute any criminal ramifications, or would that only again be civil?
Well, if the referral makes it over and the DA deems it to be a case that they can take, it would then become criminal,
and
I would presume.
Right.
So a criminal statute has been broken.
The
question is whether the DA will do anything about it or not.
Correct. Right.
Well, I think not being compliant with the court order is one of them.
Right.
You know,
I don't know how you get away with that. Yeah.
And if she doesn't know where it is, and, you know, if in fact do we know that for sure that she said she wasn't going to give it back into sentence?
Now, there has been some rumors that she said that she is coming to the point to where she knows she needs to return the car. So an olive branch had been offered to her to give a date, either have it towed to the sheriff's office, give a date upon the return of it, apologize to the citizens of Shasta Lake and the county at large, and also maybe be willing to get behind elder abuse prevention. But none of that was received positively.
Meaning she didn't receive it positively.
She did not agree to that at all,
right,
and took a lot of offense to it.
Okay, well, thank you for bringing this to everybody's attention. And yeah, I mean, I think that we need to kind of dive into this and, you know, see who knew what, who knows what. But I guess we'll only find that out from the horse's mouth. Maybe maybe that's the way.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Before you go, Terry, you know, there just a little research and found that, you know, that some of the laws she might have violated are California penal codes. Under elder abuse, 368, Title 18, USC 242, obstruction of justice, abuse of power, malice. There are court cases that subject these possible violations of the law.
Yeah, I think that probably the penal code is going to be the easiest. The 242 is a little tougher. You're going to have to get into federal court for
right.
that one. And by she didn't really obstruct anybody from any constitutionally protected rights, and that's what 242 primarily hits. What she did do is maybe some things that could be considered by people nefarious, but I don't think she's violated anybody's constitutionally protected rights at this point by saying, I'm this, so you can't do that because I'm taking that right from you, and that's what 242 is. So I don't know if it rises to that, but you're right about the penal code. I'm just amazed, Christy. I'm just amazed at this whole thing. And again, thank you for explaining it so articulately too. It was great.
Well, thank you.
Really came through great. So anyway, I'll let you guys go and finish your program and great
right.
job,
thanks
guys.
Thanks for calling in. We appreciate
sure.
it. A citizen in the community, evidently started posting some of the material that was sent out by mail, and I ended up getting copies of this. I don't follow Facebook. I'm not on Facebook, but there are a number of posts that have come up on social media, and it is getting out there, and the public is not happy with this. I just want to say that there's going to be a city council meeting on Tuesday at the city of Shasta Lake on April 16th. At 6 p.m. And if you have a comment that you'd like to make to the city council and to Mayor Powell, you can do that directly there or contact the city manager and let her know what your thoughts are on this.
And I think that's one of these things, now that people are aware that maybe people need to go to that meeting and show that we're not asleep.
Right.
And let the city council know, hey, we know what's going on. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to handle this?
You know, this is just about doing the right thing. If anybody has ever cared for an elderly person, especially one with advanced dementia, you know how doggone hard it is. And, you know, and that I sympathize with her, okay? I know it's not an easy thing, but it does not allow you to step over the line and take advantage of someone who does not know what's going on. You know, many times somebody with dementia, their comfort is to be around somebody that they intuitively know.
Yeah.
And so you can, in some cases, depending on their temperament, they can just follow along like a puppy dog, basically, and do whatever you want them to do.
Yeah.
And that's just terrible to do that to somebody, let alone your own parent.
How about the president?
That just breaks my heart, even though I don't align with what his values are, but I just think people parading him around the way that they do is elder abuse.
It's
disgusting.
It should not happen.
Yeah.
We should not tolerate it.
Yeah, totally agree. And the people that are just trying to look the other way and say nothing's going on, this whole thing is disturbing to me, you know, with the elder abuse. Her not complying with the court system. The whole thing is very disturbing.
Yeah.
And it's a public official, and how it's being handled or not handled. You know, that just.
Yeah. And I just want to make it clear. This car is not hers. She does not have right to ownership. She needs to return it. And that is, there's no question. And there's just, it's black and white. Okay, she does not
Yeah, the courts made it.
She may have
clear.
It in her name, and there's some posts here on Facebook that says, "Oh, I pay the insurance and the registration, but you don't go around and thumbing your nose to law enforcement. It's just not right." So make that clear. She needs to return that vehicle. That is a classic car and it has significant value, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in and getting the information out. Keep us, in the loop. I know you will with what's going on with it. And again, people should, on Tuesday, show up to the city council and show their concern for this, because I don't know if this, well, she's already paid for it or whatever, Okay. So if you're a child molester and you went to jail and you're out and everything's okay, you can go ahead and do whatever you want with children. I'm just saying.
Yeah, what kind of crime are we going to give a pass on?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, where do you draw the line if you're not going to draw any lines?
Right.
Wow. That's a subject we probably better leave on.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So anyway, I want to thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
The city council is Tuesday, the 16th at 6 p.m.
Yes.
At Chester Lake.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Very good.
Yeah.
We're about at the end of the show here. It's a couple minutes. We've got 3 or 4 minutes. I don't know if there's anything that we want to catch and go over here, but, man, there's so much happening out there. It's ridiculous.
Well, again, this, why we have a few minutes, is disturbing to me that anybody, it's bad enough, let alone being a public official with stuff like this, that when they break the law or whatever, and we've seen this, like with Modi, we've seen this, you break the law, and depending on who you are is how you get prosecuted or not, Who the hell is the DA or whoever to decide that? The law is the law, right?
The law is not the law anymore. The law is a tool to be wielded in a way that whoever is holding the power decides to wield it. It's not equal justice anymore. We don't have a constitutional republic anymore based on the fact that if you just ignore the Constitution and you apply the law any way you want, lawfare, I mean, look at what's going on with Trump. All these cases that have been brought forward against Trump with absolutely zero substance on any of them that I can see, and it's so corrupt and so off the charts, but Biden can do anything. All the documents, all the classified documents, it just goes on and on and on and on. So
I guess we're at the top of the hour. So there we go. Have a great week, everybody.
All right, very good. Remember, government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. We'll see you next week.
All right, all good. Well, I was a racist.
Raindrops are falling on my head. And just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun, and I said I didn't like the way he got things done. Sleeping on the job, those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. But there's one thing I know, the blues they send to me won't defeat me. It won't be long till happiness steps up to greet me. Raindrops keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.